Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
As players arrive on campus for summer workouts, we'll work out the details of return to sports. Could Purdue see 25% capacity in Rossade this fall? Could there be other changes? We'll discuss that on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter is here. Tom Dienhart as well. We'll talk to Brian Duber in just a couple of minutes. Tom, it's football season, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. I think we've got our first yearbook on the local grocery store shelf. So that's always an indication. Like you said, too, Kyle, it's here. And just seeing some of the freshmen moving in the last few days as well is another indication. Of course, guys were coming back to campus early last week to the veterans to start voluntary workouts. So you're right. We're inching ever so much more closer to the 2020 season. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers and toes, I think. So what's this look like for Purdue? You know, we've seen some other schools, you know, release more information. We do know some things about, you know, what Purdue is going to do. So perhaps we can speculate here based on what some other schools are doing. The workouts will be voluntary. They'll probably be in small groups. I saw at Illinois where the small groups will be with roommates to try to keep the same sort of pods, maybe of three or four people together for workouts. Do you anticipate that Purdue does something similar here over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I would think so. You're exactly right. I don't think there'll be any access to the locker rooms. I think you'll see players come from their apartments dressed in their shorts and T-shirts and report to the facility and work out. And like you said, Kyle, probably small groups. And like you also alluded to what Illinois is doing, I wouldn't be shocked to see something similar to Purdue, where, like you said, you try to keep the same players together. Maybe that's a group of 5 to 8 guys and always have those guys work out together. And again, small grogroups, controlled groups and controlled environments with all types, I'm sure, other health precautions taking place within the facility. But again, I would anticipate that movement within the facility would be pretty limited at this point. So it's a start.
Yeah.
They got the players on campus. They can test them, evaluate them, see how they might need, and see what type of shape they're in as well.
Is Purdue testing players? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't have any idea, but I would think, I'm not sure what access the staff has. I know it would be limited, but I think the medical staff would have some access to the players. And that'd be the first thing I'd do once they got on campus. Now, if they can do that, I don't know. You know, we haven't spoken to anyone at Purdue. We put requests in, but I'd like to know right away, you know, are my guys, you know, COVID-19 positive or not? And, you know, Then you move forward from there, Kyle. We've seen in national news what players at Alabama, I think, players at Marshall, in some other university, We've seen reports of that. So I'd have to think of those guys somehow, maybe getting tested on their campuses, that do you think maybe Purdue is doing the same thing?
Yeah. You can't work out forever in small pods of five people. At some point, football has to be played, 11-on-11. And there's still, I guess, the possibility that teams could be given some spring practices back. In your opinion, what's a timeline look like before you have to know whether, you know, you'll be able to practice for real in August at some point? And it's, you know, it's just around the corner, really. I mean, we're talking about like 7 weeks from now. At some point, teams have got to be able to work out together. You've got to be able to make the decisions on whether you can get some spring practices back, or at least, you know, some more time practicing together. Any speculation in your opinion on sort of when those decisions are made? Because they have to be made here sometime over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, I think sometime in June, schools are going to have to know if they can tack on an extra week or two to their camp preparation. Traditionally, that camp, I believe, runs, what, about 4 weeks, Kyle, and starts usually in early August. And, again, I would think the schools would probably need to know, hey, can we add an extra, like I said, week or two to the front end of those traditional training camp workouts to compensate for missed time in the spring. Now, I guess the good news for Purdue is that they were able to get 8 of their 16 allotted, you know, practices in this spring. Some schools never even got off the ground in the spring, didn't get one practice in. But again, Purdue got half of its workouts in late February into early March before they broke for the spring break. Of course, they never returned. As we all know, things were shut down after that. So still a lot of work to do for Purdue, and you can see they have a new coordinator on defense, putting in a new defense as well, new D-line coach, new special teams coach. Yes, those 8 practices help Purdue, but you still think there'd be a pretty steep learning curve if they could certainly benefit from having additional, you know, summer formal practices to help, again, get everybody acclimated to the new schemes and new coaches.
Yeah. All right, so Mitch Daniels during the week, last week, you know, made some news. Maybe the most notable is thoughts on Ross-Ade Stadium, because we've seen some other schools discuss capacity and you know, how many fans can be in the stands, and you know, speculated or at least made plans toward that end. Daniels last week saying as of now he would anticipate Ross-Ade Stadium being at about 25% capacity. So I'll put you on the spot here, Tom. If it were up to you, who would be included in that?
That's going to be a powerful person who makes those decisions, right? I have no earthly idea how they would decide who would get in. I guess maybe to back up real quick, Kyle, do you think there would be an enthusiastic 25% that would want to show up? Maybe there would be. I imagine the pent-up demand is huge. But again, say you do get everybody lined up at the gate to meet that 25% capacity limit. Like you said, who do you let in? Well, I think you have to start with the big buck donors, don't you? I mean, typically money talks. And those who have been the greatest patrons, I would think, would get the first crack to come in the gate if they wanted to. Now, what happens after that? Who knows? But you know, the John Purdue Club would have to have some type of pecking order, maybe based on their point system. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Once you get in the stadium, Kyle, then the real problems begin, don't they, with social distancing? How do you keep people apart? First, and then how do you get people in the gates socially distanced? What happens in the concourses? What happens in the concession stands? What happens in the restrooms? I mean, the list of potential problems can drive you crazy thinking about them. So it's going to be quite a conundrum and a big challenge for the operations staff and everybody to keep everybody safe at these games.
Yeah. I think it is an interesting question, the first one you raised, you know, about how many people would show up even if you didn't have a limitation. And, you know, it's been interesting these days to look at a business perspective at restaurants that, you know, can only have 50% in but aren't always hitting that capacity because so many people are staying home. I don't know what that would be like at a football game in the fall. I mean, probably too early to speculate on that. So there are so many questions. I feel like every week I throw questions at you that none of us have the answer to. What happens,
you know, for me,
Tom?
Yeah,
if,
I mean, for me.
Go ahead.
No, I said, for me. Again, just what happens, the what ifs, and you know, they're going to be guys going to be tested weekly. I would think. Well, what happens if on a Monday or a Tuesday, Kyle, your trainer or your team doctor comes to the head coach and says, "Hey, coach, got some bad news for you. 10 of your guys have tested positive, and 8 of them are offensive linemen, and you got a game that's sadly 4 or 5 days away. These guys have to be quarantined for 7 or 14 days." What do you do if your roster suddenly takes a huge personnel hit because of infection? Do you just cancel that game or forfeit that game that weekend? I mean, it could be a crazy, crazy scenarios that can unfold. You play the what-if game in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's that's a scenario that would be a problem. I would think, you know, if you had an infection, high infection rate on your offensive line, you couldn't
play
football.
Your quarterbacks get it. Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about, but you know, those are situations that could impact. You know, Mitch Daniels spoke to that to a degree before Senate hearing late last week. That if this thing got really bad campus wide or athletic department wide, you know, they consider just shutting it down. And I think that's always a possibility. People have talked about, Kyle, where we could get this whole thing revved up and started, and we could be 3 or 4 games in, and who knows, maybe nationwide the whole season gets shut down. So at this point, any scenario you can dream of is possible and obviously on the table.
I heard some speculation about this a month ago. I haven't heard much more since about non-conference schedules. Any idea if I mean, at some point, you got to work those things out. Could you foresee any changes to non-conference schedules to keep teams from traveling?
I'd have to think it'd be a consideration. I guess if it were up to me and I was under the wire to try to get some type of a season in, I would consider foregoing those non-conference games, just playing my 9 conference games. You know, Purdue only has the 1 long non-conference road trip this year to Boston College. They have Memphis and Air Force at home. But still, you know, Kyle, if those schools don't get those payday checks, you know, it's going to really impact the athletic department budgets at those schools, for like an Air Force or a Memphis to come to Purdue and get that big check. And across the country, we see those payday games every fall. Those games are eliminated. Like I said, it would be a huge blow to teams from the MAC and Conference USA and the Sun Belt and the Mountain West that provide that non-conference fodder for these power conference teams. So, again, I'd be for just trying to play Big Ten games, not risking trying to make long trips and extending the season. So, again, we'll see what happens. I think right now they plan on playing everything. So it's going to be interesting to see if maybe the season does get truncated in one form or another here moving forward here.
Leave me with something positive, Tom. I need something positive here. Leave me with something.
Oh, cool.
Players are back. They're arriving back. They're working out. That's something, right?
Yeah, and like you said, just from where our conversation started, that's sort of where we were at. You know, the freshmen have reported. The veterans came back last Monday, I believe, and you know, they began their voluntary workouts, and everybody appears to be healthy, right? And nationwide, this thing seems to be flattening out and diminishing. So looks like we're sitting on it as best we can as a country at this point. So I think that's the most positive thing, and everybody's being very cautious. So as long as we do those things, control what we control, you know, I think everybody has a chance not just to play football, but to get this whole economy cranked up again.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Brian. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert on this Monday podcast. All right, Brian, let's turn our attention to a little bit of basketball. I know earlier in the week you were able to catch up with Raphael Davis, talk to him a little bit about leadership and his tenure at Purdue, things like that. Pretty critical that Purdue finds somebody similar, like, right now, right?
Yeah, you know, the reason I wanted to talk to Raphael Davis was because I think he's kind of a good symbol of everything Purdue needs right now. This Purdue team next year kind of needs a Raphael Davis. I don't know if it necessarily will have that one singular guy who's as influential as he was, but it would go a long way if they did, because they're in a little bit of a similar position to where they were in 2014, albeit the situation in 2014 was a little bit bleaker than it is now. Purdue was basically a little bit better than 500 team this year. Back then, it was coming off a last place season in the Big Ten. But it was Raphael Davis's leadership. It was kind of his maturity, his sort of adulthood, his sort of energy that really, really helped turn things around from, you know, from, to use that nebulous buzzword, cultural perspective, but also that was a team too where you had a couple freshmen come in who were pretty advanced from a maturity perspective. That made it easier. Teams that don't need to be led as much as other teams, leadership's a little bit easier. And I think you can draw another parallel between this team and that team, because Purdue's newcomers coming into the mix next year all seem like pretty stable dudes. So, but Purdue does need leadership. Purdue needs guys to be mature, to kind of take command of things. From what I understand, from what Eric Hunter said a couple weeks ago to me, was that he and Sasha Stefanovic are trying to be that sort of player. But Matt Painter will always tell you too, that sometimes if you're not playing as well as you would like, it's hard to be a leader. And, you know, I think that was probably the case last year with Purdue's two juniors who did neither at the level Purdue needed them to. But it could be a matter of, if Eric Hunter and Sasha Stefanovic, guys like that, take the sort of jumps as players they'd like to take this year, that becomes a little bit easier as well.
My way too early prediction on this Purdue basketball team is it's going to be better than what we expect it to be, aside from not being able to play any interior defense. Did Raphael have to sort of grow into that a little bit over the time, and when did it click for him from a leadership point of view?
Well, you know, they had to lose a lot of games too to get to that place. And, you know, I think that's where that season was pretty notable, is because when you have a couple of seasons where you kind of lose more than you expected to, you run the risk of kind of becoming numb to it. And, you know, that year it kind of took somebody to kind of put their foot down, so to speak, and say we're tired of it. I think you saw that a couple years ago with Purdue football too. 2017 was clearly an example of a bunch of dudes who just were kind of tired of losing. And, you know, Purdue inherited a senior class that, you know, was a little bit better than I think people anticipated. And they just played like guys who were tired of losing. And I think, you know, the depths Purdue basketball now faces aren't as deep as the depths before. But I think we will find out about this team how much being a little bit better than a 500 team last year, you know, kind of sat with them. It's going to happen from guys who aren't, you know, necessarily older guys, because the guys I talked about before, Eric Hunter, Sasha Stefanovic, are both juniors. And Sasha Stefanovic obviously is in his fourth year in the program, Eric Hunter in his third year in the program, but Purdue doesn't have that, you know, that traditional, you know, strong senior class next year. They won't have a senior unless something something changes here in the summer. To your question about Rafael Davis, he was always kind of a big personality, kind of a charismatic guy, a good guy, all that stuff, all the things you typically associate with being a leader. But the turning point was simply that, was simply being tired of it all, being tired of losing, and you know, wanting something more. Yeah.
Seems to me this is a pretty critical offseason to have somebody step up in a leadership role just because of everything else that's going on. I mean, you might have more voluntary type of workouts, that kind of thing that lends itself to somebody stepping up. Your opinion, too, that this is an opportunity for someone and might be pretty critical to produce success this year, that it does happen this summer when there's so many – you know, other distractions or other oddities that they're just sort of not used to?
Yeah, it is going to be obviously a strange offseason in that regard. A, these guys weren't together in the spring. They were physically distant. And, you know, typically when you think of leadership from that perspective, you think of, you know, a whole team in the same room together and one or two guys, you know, speaking up or simply leading the way in organized workouts, full scale workouts, whether it be conditioning, whether it be, you know, off season practice, whether it be pickup games, whatever. That stuff didn't happen in the spring. Now they get back to campus. Can they have more than five guys in a room together right now? We don't know. We don't know, you know, exactly what Purdue is doing here from a structural perspective. I don't anticipate there being full sort of practices anytime soon. I don't anticipate there being full locker rooms anytime soon. So I don't think this is going to be a situation where the whole team is together a whole lot. So it's not just a matter of, you know, guys wanting to be leaders, being able to be leaders, but being in situations to be leaders too, because everybody's kind of off on their own. I thought the spring was going to be a really good maturity test for Purdue and every other team in the country because you did not have players and coaches and support staff there to hold everyone accountable. It was kind of up to the individual, whatever they were capable of doing, whatever they were inclined to do, that's what they did. If they didn't have the ability to do something or they just didn't want to do it, they didn't do it. So that sort of stuff, you know, typically shows up when, you know, stuff gets real. And, you know, starting, I guess, this week, things get a little bit more real than they've been.
Just tell me this, Brian. Tell me that in early November, whenever that date is, November 8th, Mackey Arena will be packed full of people and ready to go for a season. Can you tell me that? Packed.
I can't. I
15,000.
Have no idea. I have a hard time envisioning that right now. I do think basketball is a little bit different than football. Obviously, basketball being an indoor sport, people being on top of each other a little bit more in basketball than they are in football. Obviously, that's a long way away. We have to see where we are here in a couple months. We have to get through football season. But as of right now, if there were basketball games to be played like next week, then I think obviously that's not reality. But can you imagine a Big Ten basketball game with like a quarter capacity? How weird that would be.
It's
not outside the realm of possibility. It's definitely not outside the realm of possibility. But I think that's a long way away. Obviously, we have to see where we are. You know, we have to see where we are as a country. We have to get through flu season. We have to, you know, we just kind of have to see what the reality is 3 months from now, 4 months from now, before we can, you know, start to project. It would be really, really bizarre, though, to see a Big Ten basketball game without a full house in Mackey Arena.
It would almost be more bizarre to see it a quarter full than to see it empty in some ways, I think. But, yeah, like you said, a lot of things to happen between now and then. Hey, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's HomeFieldApparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Much more on the site at goldandblack.com. Be sure to check out the latest on Purdue football and basketball. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back again next Monday, of course. Look for other podcasts to drop during the week. Listen to those however you listen to your favorite podcasts. All right, thanks to our sponsors, Home Field Apparel, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, and Remax Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. Back next week for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Block Radio.